It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects today, the subject of revolution. No, not armed overthrow of the government, not taking up arms and fighting violently, but revolution where we need it most, radical, dramatic, sweeping change where we need it most, meaning right within the church, revolution in the church. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. You can email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. or get into the always lively discussion taking place on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, where I've asked a simple question and already gotten a flood of answers. I think most of us agree that we need to see a revolution in the church, but where does it start? If you could focus on one area where we need to change, what would that be? Where would you start? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me put out a very simple thesis that I've held to for many, many years. The reason that America is so messed up in so many ways today, thank God for the good things in our country, I rejoice in that, but let's face it, there's a lot of junk, there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of sin, there's a lot that's wrong, there's a lot that's deteriorating, crumbling. The reason America is so messed up is because the Church of America is so messed up. If we are to be the moral conscience, if we are to be the light, if we are to be the ones that bring reverence for God, if we are to be the ones that bring standards of morality, purity, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, and I've often quoted, the church is not the master of the state, nor the servant of the state, but the conscience of the state. If that, in fact, is our role, part of what Jesus said to his disciples, that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, if the church is messed up, then society is messed up. So to me, the fundamental cause of American problems is the church is messed up. Now, hang on. Let me take this a little further as a leader in the body. If there are problems in the church, and again, thank God for the good he's doing. Jesus is constantly building up his congregation, his church. Jesus is constantly doing wonderful things in the earth among his people around the world. The Holy Spirit is moving. God is not worried or depressed. God is victorious, knowing his purposes are being accomplished in the earth. At the same time, we know in the book of Revelation that five out of the seven congregations Jesus addressed, five out of the seven congregations in Asia Minor, had real serious problems. And Jesus said, repent or else. Is that not true? And Paul had to deal with serious issues among the believers in different congregations that he wrote to. So we understand that many times there can be problems in the church and things not right. So simple thesis. The reason America is messed up is because the Church of America is messed up. The reason the Church of America is messed up is because so many leaders are messed up. Because so many of us are not living according to God's standards. So many of us are not living in the purity that we're called to. So many of us are not living Christ-like lives. So many of us are not preaching and teaching truths founded on the scriptures. So as repentance begins among leadership, repentance will happen in the body. As it happens in the body, it will lead to national awakening. So, simple question. If you could start in one particular area, maybe the thing that grieves you the most, burdens you the most, you look at the church, you look at the body, you know, we need some change. What is revolution? Revolution is radical, dramatic, sweeping change. When we say that we want to see a Jesus revolution, you hear it in the music that leads into our program every day, Shake the Nations by Aaron Kreider. It's a great mission song, and it also calls for God to send a revolution. Radical, dramatic, sweeping change through the gospel. Through the gospel. What does it mean? It means spiritual change. And because of spiritual change, moral change, and because of moral change, cultural change, it means the kingdom of God coming in power and affecting change. Someone said this. I wish I could remember who said it. He probably got it from somebody else. But it's so simple. Jesus transforms people. People transform society. Come on, when we're changed, it's going to bring about a change in our environment around us. You just think, if you've got people who are living honestly in society, in the business world, working ethically, if you've got people who are honoring the Lord in their families, if you've got people who are raising godly kids, and just trickle-down effect, you're going to have positive change in the society. And the reverse, in terms of negative change, that's going to happen as well. So we need major change in society, but we're not going to see major change in society unless we first see major change in the church. Unless we first see some kind of revolution in the church, where do we start? If we had a focus on one area, what one thing strikes you as the fundamental, most important area where we need to see change come? 866-34-TRUTH. And I'll just give you another reminder. I am not Chicken Little running around saying the sky is falling. I want to repeat what I've often said, that I'm full of confidence in God. In fact, sometimes the worst news I hear in the world, the more encouraged I get in my heart. Although it's painful to hear the bad news, I'm constantly encouraged that God's going to work in the midst of this, that as he shakes everything that can be shaken, that his kingdom is going to advance. I truly believe we're going to see sweeping revival come to America, a national awakening, the likes of which we've never seen, or at least ever seen in our lifetimes. And God's going to shake our country. I believe it's going to happen because my faith is in God, not in people. And I'm confident that around the world today, the greatest harvest that's ever taken place is taking place right now in terms of people coming to faith in Jesus, from Islam, from Hinduism, from atheism, from you name it, coming to faith. Jewish people coming to faith, even in increasing numbers in certain parts of the world. I'm confident in the Lord, and I recognize that things are really messed up. Okay, I recognize we need to keep sounding the alarm. One of the things we do here on the Line of Fire is on a regular basis, sound the alarm, bring a wake-up call. So just another reminder that I'm not just crying wolf or saying the sky is falling when nothing's happening. Here's a story posted yesterday. I saw it last night on WorldNet Daily by Bob Unruh. Church college teaches sex in dorm etiquette. Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota, proclaims on its website that it is a church-related residential liberal arts college firmly rooted in its Swedish and Lutheran heritage, and its core values are excellence, community, service, and faith. So somebody shows up to school at the beginning, and they have some freshman orientation. So here's there's some videos that are posted, and there's a warning on the videos. I watched part of one, and I'm sure that the warnings are well placed in terms of be careful about watching these. I didn't even watch one of them all the way through for that very reason. But this is some of what freshmen, this is just Gustavus Adolphus College. Come on, I never heard of it. Maybe a fine school in other ways, aside from this crud that I'm about to play for you. Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota, firmly rooted in its Swedish and Lutheran heritage. They've got all this, you know, sex orientation junk, and if you're going to be having sex in your room, here's the etiquette, you know, so your roommate doesn't come in, and so on. And, let me find this here. Here's a cute little presentation from the gay and lesbian group. This is freshman orientation at an out-of-the-way little college with a proud Swedish and Lutheran heritage. Oh, hang on. We'll get it for you. Just lost that clip, but we'll get it for you momentarily. Our audio clip is not cooperating at this moment. There is so much happening, friends, in our college campuses, in our high school, middle school, elementary school, preschool campuses that we don't know about. When I just share some of these things, again, I'm not an alarmist and extremist in terms of, oh, no, there's another crisis. Oh, no, it's the end of the world. Oh, no, it's all... No, quite the contrary. I don't like date setting. And I differ with those who think that everything is coming down and getting worse and worse and there's no hope. No, quite the contrary. I believe Proverbs 4 that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter until the full light of day. I believe, according to Ecclesiastes, that God saves the best for last, just a divine principle. But I'll share some things that just like common knowledge or stuff. I don't watch much TV, but I'll research, know what's going on, and I'll share some stuff with parents and others, or the latest video game, whatever, just stuff that's part of the culture, and people's jaws drop. They're in a state of shock. They can't believe this is taught in the schools. Like, it's there, and we've been trying to tell folks it's there for years. All to say this, society's messed up, no big news there. Because much of the church is messed up, that shouldn't be big news either. We need change. Where does the change start? We need revolution in the church starting where? When we come back, I'm going to play that eye-opening clip for you and then start sharing some of the many comments that have come in so far. Revolution in the church, I say it's time. What do you say? Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. You know, I get up in the morning, and this particular week I'm teaching a class, a modular class, at Fire School of Ministry with our first-year students called Jewish Roots. It's a really eye-opening class. We got a great bunch of first-year students. But I have to get up earlier than normal, so I'm kind of dragging the first few minutes when I get out of bed. But I noticed as I was getting in the car to drive to class about 7:45 this morning or 7:50 this morning, I noticed that I had a sense of excitement in me, not just because I was getting to teach the word to these students, but because I get to do radio in the afternoon. So here we are, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, our website, askdrbrown.org. I'm holding in my hand a book that I wrote a few years back called Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. And that call remains very loud, very necessary, if we are going to see the church be what God has called us to be. We need radical, sweeping change, otherwise known as revolution. So my question, if there's going to be revolution in the church, if you could push a button and see change come in one particular area, or devote yourself to bringing about change, or you may not know how to change the thing, but you see the problem, you see the need, where would you start? What would be the very first thing that you would address? Now, before I get to some of your comments, I just want to play this clip for you. Wasn't able to play it right before the break, but it's from a freshman orientation at a little school, Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota. Claims on its website that it is a church-related residential liberal arts college firmly rooted in its Swedish and Lutheran heritage, holds to core values of excellence, community, justice, service, and faith. And this was a video that was captured during freshman orientation this year. Just want to hear some of what the freshmen get exposed to. They leave home and they go to college.
Follow along and listen quite clear to learn of the wonderful world of the queer. But where do we start, you first years might say? Let's define LGBTQ&A. Our friends here on stage will go letter by letter until you can understand what I'm saying much better. Without further ado, let's meet our new friends who will help us define the Queers and Allies acronym.
L stands for lesbian, woman and woman, you see. Together they make love quite beautifully.
G is for gay, man to man in a way. They can jump, they can skip, they can do what they may.
P is pansexual.
Ooh, let's take a quick break and clear up, I shall, of this new term called pansexual.
All right, and then goes on with more trash and nonsense. Look, I'll say it again, I'm not an alarmist or an extremist. I'm simply telling you the truth. The problems are more pervasive than we even realize. Fundamental values gone out the window more than we even realize. Young people dropping away from the gospel because they haven't really heard the real gospel more than we realize. The changes need to come beginning with us. Easy to point a finger at the society, but come on, society is the way it is because the church has failed. I've said it time and again, and if I sound like a broken record, forgive me, but you know, you read through scripture, things get repeated a lot because it often takes us a while to get it. But the failure of heterosexual marriage, rampant no-fault divorce in the church has done far more to destroy the family and the institution of marriage in America than have all the gay activists combined. Just want to say that plainly. So We need revolution in the church. Where do we start? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me get to some of your comments. Greg said this: I would start by removing the false doctrine that there are two types of believers in the body of Christ, clergy and laity. Not true, in my opinion, and this makes Christianity a spectator sport. Hey, Greg, did you come up with that on your own as that high on the list? I trust you did, having read some of your other posts over the months. But, you know, that's one of my points in the book Revolution in the Church, Chapter 4, the body is not an audience and the preacher is not a performer, that attacks this false notion that there is such a thing as clergy and laity. Are there leaders that God raises up in the body? Absolutely. Is there a New Testament doctrine of clergy and laity? Absolutely not. Let's see. Arik says the preaching of the gospel. In other words, what's the message that we're actually preaching? A number of folks said if change is going to start, it's got to start with me. That's good. That's healthy. Jesse, it needs to start with the Word of God. Pastors, teachers need to return to expositional teaching of every page of the Bible. Revival, evangelism, holiness, healed marriages, and all else will follow naturally. You know, Calvary Chapel churches have as a custom that came from Pastor Chuck Smith to always be teaching through the Bible on an annual basis, that they may be preaching, teaching other things, but there's always a main service every week where they're just reading through the Bible and teaching from it, which causes you to address all kinds of issues. And Jesse's point would be expositional teaching. In other words, really open up what the Word is saying. Jamie, faith, or better use of what faith we have toward Jesus Christ. Everything is possible, him that believes. So getting the people of God into a place of faith again. I'm going to read a bunch of these. These are good. Jeremy, for anything to change in the church, it must begin with the Bible. For whatever various reasons, the church has put aside and neglected the Word. At times, it seems as if the church and believers have bought the lie that God's Word is no longer applicable in this modern age. Every problem we face within and without the church begins with that error. All right. Let me ask you a question. I've been wondering about this, about talking about this. So let me put this out here for a moment. At certain times in church history, Christians have been full of doctrine, full of teaching, but spiritually dead. They've either gotten intellectually or theologically proud, or they've gotten into a stale outward religion. It's often been said that the believers in Wales before the Welsh Revival in 1904 and 1905 were taught to death. Let me ask you a question. In your circles, what do you see as the greater problem? Dead, stale traditionalism, where people know Bible truths, know Bible information, know Bible doctrine, but don't really know the Lord in a vibrant way, aren't really walking in the life and power of the Spirit. They can give you the information, but they don't really know the Lord. They are not personally alive to these truths. Is that the bigger problem? You see people being taught to death, or people believing every kind of flaky, weird thing, just trying to float and fly in the Spirit and being divorced from the roots of Scripture, being divorced from sound doctrine, being divorced from fundamentals? If you had a focus on either of those being a more major problem in your circles, and you don't have to identify the church you go to. We never want to embarrass individuals or ministries or denominations or have someone just air their view about a particular group and thereby slam a whole group just based on one opinion. But in the circles in which you travel, your perception of the body, do you think the greater danger today in your particular circles is that we are taught to death? A lot of doctrine, a lot of information, a lot of Bible truths without a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus, or we've departed from Scripture foundations. Anything goes with doctrine. Whatever the latest spiritual Holy Ghost trend is, people are going after that. What do you see as the bigger problem in your midst? 866-34-TRUTH. I got a ton more comments to read and a bunch of comments of my own on where we need to see revolution in the church. Stay with us. We're talking about one of my favorite subjects today, revolution, specifically revolution in the church. radical, dramatic, sweeping change through the gospel, getting back to the word, getting back to foundations, getting back to God's order. Where do we start? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Again, if you're not part of our Facebook community, please join. We have daily updates, new articles posted, new messages added, and lots of interesting discussion having to do with most every broadcast here on the Line of Fire. So go to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. So my question again, where do we need to start? We recognize change needs to come. Thankfully, many of us recognize it on our knees in a repentant way, looking to the Lord as opposed to criticizing, fault-finding. That being said, we recognize many things are not right. It's not bad to say that. Look, if you've been lacking energy for months and you sleep 10 hours a day and you still are, you can't barely get out of bed, 8, 9, 10 hours, doesn't matter, and you're struggling at work or you're struggling in school, and you go to a doctor and the doctor says, oh, yeah, you got a blood disorder here. You got a serious issue, but okay, we can treat this. You have to change your diet, and we're going to get you on a whole exercise routine and things. You're going to start to feel like a brand new person, and there's going to be some discipline with this, but you're going to take this medicine too, and you'll be great. Well, is it bad news that the doctor diagnosed a problem? That's good news, because now it's good news if it's curable. Okay, it's bad news if he says you're going to die in a day. But it's good news if they can put their finger on it and it's curable. Whatever the Lord identifies as being wrong in our midst is good news. Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, what does he say? I coddle and stroke? No, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. It's good. It's a sign of God's love when he corrects us so that we can grow and change. Where do we start? Let me go to the phones. I'm going to try to read as many comments from Facebook as possible. I normally get to just a handful, but I'm going to try to read as many as I can because there are so many interesting and insightful ones. But let me grab a call or two. Pam in Durham, North Carolina, thanks for calling.
Yes, how you doing?
Good. So where do we start?
We start with having a relationship with Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And the church today, not all churches, not everybody, okay, I'm not talking about that, but as you were saying before, we have learned, we have so much knowledge, we're full of the knowledge of the word, but we're not full of the Spirit of God, and that's where we are missing it at. We need Christ in our life. We are forever learning, but we deny the power thereof. We don't want the Holy Spirit in our life. We want to know about the Spirit of God. Don't want him as Lord of our life. And that's where the problem is, that we have not allowed Christ to be Lord of our life.
So plain and simple, we may know about God, but we're lacking in relationship with God.
Right, yes. We know him theologically, but we do not know him intimately.
And that's
really, where the problem is at.
That's a big, big, big problem, and it's a big part of what we're dealing with. Hey, Pam, thanks for weighing in loudly and clearly. I don't think anyone with their head screwed on right could disagree with what you just said, Pam. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to voice my opinion. Bye-bye.
You bet. I will keep on. I will keep on keeping on. Sorry to cut you off there. Look, fundamentally, many, many people in America that call themselves Christian and that are church going know more about God than they know God, know more about the Bible than the God of the Bible. And the idea of having a quality walk and relationship with God is foreign to many, which is so bizarre. I mean, that's the whole gospel. Look, I'm Jewish. I came to faith at 16. I wasn't raised in Christianity. I came to faith as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, rebellious rock drummer. If there was not vibrant, real relationship with God, what would I be doing in a church? I mean, if anything, I'd be in a synagogue, but I wouldn't be in a synagogue when I'm shooting heroin. I'd be playing with a rock band somewhere. But so many people, it can happen to any of us over a period of time. We get used to the religious circles, the religious services, the religious meetings, and we don't know God. And it takes time to build a quality relationship with God, doesn't it? Ron in Jacksonville, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, Ron. You're on the air.
Hi. In my opinion, I think the problem, based on the scripture, and I can't think where it is right now, but it says where Jesus makes a statement, he's talking to his disciples, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. I think the problem is, you know, when people are asleep, they can't wake up. And you can't understand unless the Lord opens up your understanding mm-hmm. to the truth. So if the people that he's talking to are people that are awake, and the problem is with them. If we aren't praying and asking the Lord to do what he says that he will do, then how can people wake up and hear the truth and understand the truth to the point where they can do something about it?
All right, so it's kind of a vicious cycle. People are not going out to speak the word. Others are asleep and don't know it, and the cycle continues. Hey, Ron, by the way, just a reminder, October 24th, so a little over 2 weeks from now, I'll be speaking at New Life Church in Jacksonville, so maybe I can run into you there. But thanks for calling, Ron. Yeah, in Matthew 9 and elsewhere, Jesus says that the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few, and therefore to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest field. The problem is if people are asleep, we don't know it when we're asleep. We're dreaming, we're conscious of something else. Okay, because I'm a late night person, when I'm on a real roll, writing, researching, praying, I'm often up late, you know, and I'll try to force myself to go to sleep by 4 a.m. And otherwise, I could just stay up later and later and keep shifting my schedule. But then, of course, sometimes I have to fly out early in the morning. Sometimes I have to teach in the morning. Sometimes I have some other appointment in the morning and then have to adjust my schedule accordingly. But this past week, I'd come down with a cold. And thank God I'm getting stronger each day and managed to get through each program this week without coughing and sneezing. And we can all say thank God for that. So I knew I was feeling run down, and I was having a problem with one phone that I use. I normally use to set the alarm, and I thought, you know, I just want to make sure that I don't oversleep, that I don't miss this alarm or get up and fall back asleep. So I had, on my side of the bed, I had just another unit, you know, sound machine thing, and then I set that to go off. And then I had this other phone that I was about to sell on eBay, but I didn't know if it would work without being used as a regular phone. It turns out that would work. So I woke up with three different things vibrating, buzzing all at the same time, and thankfully woke up. But Jesus said to the church in Sardis, you have a reputation for being alive, yet you're dead. Wake up. Strengthen that which remains. So where do we need to wake up? I'm going to read a bunch of practical suggestions and lay out, in my view, three simple things, fundamental but simple, that are needed for true revolution in the church. Stay with us. God of light. Revolution. We're talking about revolution in the church. In future weeks, I'm definitely going to open the subject more, what we mean by Jesus revolution, what it is that we really want to see, what this broadcast is devoted to. A good part of what we want to see happen is an awakening in the church that'll produce a revolution in the society through the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you'll go to our Line of Fire website, Ask Dr. Brown, .org. Click on the Line of Fire. There's a link to my book, Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. Really encourage you to get this, read it. You'll find it eye-opening and practical at the same time. Okay, in answer to the question on Facebook, if revolution in the church was going to start, where would it start? I want to read a few more comments. Tale said, the Great Commission, and for preachers to stop talking about hellfire and talk about Jesus' love. Perhaps talk about both. Al, I think the big problem is how the church defines the Torah, talking about how we've incorporated many non-biblical traditions along the way. Wally and Karen, we must change our emphasis to prayer. Connecting to God must be our priority, then everything else will fall into order. Brandon and Cassie, house church, not cell groups, not church shrunk into a house, just simple house church. Jan, stop worshiping prosperity. It demands sacrifices to Baal. Stephen, rooting out personal and secret sins so we can then become disqualified and reach others. Probably so we won't become disqualified and reach others. A whole bunch of other suggestions and ideas put out. Others have suggested removing racism, removing lording and controlling it over people, seeking first the kingdom of God, starting with washing one another's feet, starting in the arena of the mind, prayer. Leonard Ravenhill said the Cinderella of the church is the prayer meeting. A lot of great comments. You might hear this and think, oh, great. Everything's wrong. Everything needs to change. That's wonderful. I started the program with a little hope, but now I don't know what to do. All right. We don't want to be shotgun in our approach and just throw out a bunch of different ideas that don't help, although I think every point that's made here has been worthy of further discussion and that many of them really hit key nails on the head. But let me boil everything down to one. Let me give you three practical thoughts after that, okay? If I could boil everything down, I want to go back to our first caller who talked about people not really knowing God. If we could make it the number one priority of our lives to really come to know the Lord, I don't mean just to have some theoretical or theological knowledge, nor do I mean just some mysticism, but to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, to have a vibrant personal relationship with Jesus, to put aside the other things that stand in the way, and to really pursue knowing him through prayer and the word and fellowship, spiritual intimacy. If that was aligned properly in our lives, that even if some of our church structure was not right, even if all of our doctrine about the end times wasn't accurate, even if we had some other things to work through in terms of interpersonal relationships, the foundation at least would be there, and we could build on that foundation. That being said, let me give you three other simple thoughts where we need to make change if we are to accomplish God's purposes on the earth for our lives, for our generation. And I lay these out in my book, Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. One simple truth is this: to recover the reality that the church is not a building. In other words, as long as we think about going to church more than being the church, we will be defeated. I am 100% positive on congregational gatherings, be they in large buildings, be they in small buildings, be they in houses. I am 100% in favor of us coming together as the church, as the body. And to the extent we isolate ourselves, to that extent we open the door to deception and certainly to ineffectiveness. But to the extent we put the emphasis on going to church as opposed to being the church, we will miss the point. Look, I love big services. I love small services. I love preaching, teaching to crowds of people, to small groups of people. But I fully understand that if we don't take those things and live them out, we deceive ourselves. We come together, we have a great meeting. Oh, we had a great service on Sunday. Oh, it was a great message on Sunday. Oh, it was great worship on Sunday. Oh, okay. How did that touch the world? If there's going to be revolution in the church that brings revolution in society, how are we going to touch the world if our emphasis is primarily on going into sacred space and having a sacred meeting with sacred people and talking about sacred things? Okay, wonderful. How does that translate out to touching the world? So one practical change needs to be that the emphasis is on being the church in society more than on going to church alone. Two more simple points when we come back. As always, I want to be practical. I'm happy to be theoretical and philosophical and wax eloquent, but bottom line, we got to be practical. And know how to live these things out, work these things out Michael Brown talking about revolution in the church, change that needs to come in the church if we are going to change society around us. Yes, absolutely true that fundamentally we need to really know the Lord and walk with the Lord and be absorbed in the Lord and love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, love our neighbors, ourselves. We do that, we'll be world changers. In keeping with that, though, I want to lay out three simple things. If we can change this in our thinking, in our practice, in our mindset, it will bring about change. So right before the break, I mentioned this, that we need to put the emphasis on being the church more than going to church, that the church is not a building. We're talking about a people, and a people live out their lives outside of the building. That must be our emphasis. By all means, let's gather together and then let us go and live this out. That must be the great focus, far more than coming together. It is how we live this thing out. Second thing, we need to dismantle the clergy-laity distinction. Talked about that briefly earlier in the show. We need to dismantle the clergy-laity distinction. The New Testament plainly talks about the important role that leaders play, plainly instructs believers in general how to deal with leaders and receive from leaders and follow leaders in a godly and right way. But the New Testament is absolutely clearly plain on the fact that we are all priests to God, that we are equally branches of the vine, that we are equally members of the body, that we are equally sons and daughters of God. And there's no clergy-laity distinction. In other words, it's not just the clergy does the work of the ministry. The laity doesn't really know anything. They just pay their dues to the clergy. No, no. We're an army. We're all called to go out and do the work. And then the third point is this. We're all called to be disciples. You say, yeah, well, I know that. No. Let me say it again. We're all called to be disciples. Say, what's the point? Read the Gospels. Tell you what, when the broadcast is over, as soon as you get a minute, read Luke 14, starting in verse 25. Luke 14, starting in verse 25, see what Jesus says about being a disciple. All of us are called to be disciples. Oh, if we lived as disciples, you better believe society would be shaken. So let me bottom line this for you. The big problem we see around us is that our society is truly messed up in so many ways. But as we draw a circle within that big problem on our target, we see that the church within the nation is so compromised, so worldly, so busy with earthly things that do not matter, more in love so many times with the world and the flesh than with God and the things of God. Change needs to come starting with us. So put right in the middle of that target a bullseye with your name on it. I'll put one with my name on it. Someone once asked the question, how do I pray for revival? The answer was given, draw a circle on the ground. Go stand within that circle and say, God, revive everything inside this circle. God, let the change begin with me. Help me to live out what it really means to be a disciple. Help me to live out what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. And from there, let it spread to others in a contagious way. Who knows? You might be the coal that God uses to ignite the other coals in your family, in your congregation, in your neighborhood. Who knows? Revival could start in you and through you. That's my bottom line. Remember the website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire to get into discussion about today's show. And to get the resource Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. And there's still time to get some questions into me. If you're unable to call the program tomorrow, you've got questions, we've got answers at the end of the week. If you're unable to call, there's still time to get a pressing email question into me. And if it's something appropriate for the show, we'll read your email and answer your question on the broadcast tomorrow. Hey, how about we make some efforts to put this into practice, search your own lives, spend some quality time with God, and say, Lord, let the revolution begin with me.